ARPA-E is a brand new agency within the Department of Energy to invest in innovative technologies. It's really to, as a catalyst, to unleash the technological innovation in this country focused on energy, clean energy technologies.
So specifically clean energy technologies.
That's right.
So this is it's a research and development organization, yes?
We don't do research development ourselves, but we invest in the best teams outside in the universities and national labs and small industry and large industry. We invest in the teams who come up with their ideas and they give it to us. And we look at them and we invest in different approaches to reach the same goals.
How do you find out about some of these good ideas? Do they come to you or do you go searching for them?
So we create programs. For example, we have a program on advanced batteries right now that's ongoing. And what we do is we set targets for those batteries. So this is for transportation. So this program is called BEAST, Batteries for Electrical Energy Storage for Transportation.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and this is, so what we do is, if you look at plug-in hybrids or hybrid vehicles today, it's based on lithium-ion batteries. And that's also in our computers and our iPhones, et cetera, is lithium-ion batteries. But the United States has 1% of the market share for manufacturing in lithium-ion batteries, and we invented it. So we said that we need to look at technologies of the future, so that which will make today's lithium-ion batteries obsolete. And so this is now, we are looking at technologies which will go to, three times the higher energy density, which is what is really required, and four times lower cost. And we put up a challenge out there. And so people are coming up with ideas and need not be lithium ion. It could be other kinds of batteries. And we are going to invest in 4 or 5 or 10 different competitive approaches to get to reach the same targets of performance and cost. And hopefully one of them will be ready for business, or one or two of them will be ready for business. So we are looking at the technological options for the United States. As a, how do we leapfrog into the next generation?
You said something that I had not thought of, and I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Not only are you looking at innovative technologies for the next generation, clean sources of energy, things that'll last a long time and maybe not cost prohibitive amounts of money.
Right.
But you're also pushing that innovative spirit in this country. You said we invented lithium-ion batteries, but right. We only have an itty-bitty part of the market share.
That's right.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. And that, I think we need to, so most of the manufacturing takes place outside the country, and the manufacturing for batteries has not changed for decades. Hmm. And so what we would like to invest in is new kinds of batteries and new manufacturing techniques. And hopefully that will lead to, new innovation in the United States, new jobs in the next generation, 21st century clean energy economy. So that's what we're trying to invest in. And so what we do is we put out a challenge. We bring a workshop mm-hmm. of the best minds in this country. I said, let's see what's the state of the art today. And what's a stretch goal? We call it a stretch goal. So what could we do potentially? Which we don't know how exactly to do, but let's put the put the marker a little bit ahead, and we discuss it with the community. The community gives us input, and then we create a program based on that, and then let the people generate their ideas and throw it at us, and then based on a judgment, scientific judgment, we sort of make we fund 5 or 6 or 10 different competitive approaches, because we don't know which one's going to win at the end. And let business pick it up later on and make it a business and scale. That's the best way to scale in the United States, is to enable business to make money. But what we do is we give them the options and let them pick it up and then scale after that.
Because just organically, the cream is going to rise to the top.
That's right.
Whoever has the best idea
right. Is
going to succeed.
That's right. And we need to create this internal competition in the United States. I mean, if you look at the internet space, right, mm-hmm. everyone can feel it, can associate with that. You have Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, all competing with each other. And that's good, because one of them may be number one, the other may be number two, number three. But guess what? All three of them are the top three in the world. And that's what competition does. And so what the government can do is to create a little bit of the competition and let them compete and win in technology and business. And that's what we're trying to do.
You made me think of almost like marathon training when you said we move the goalposts just a little bit further. The end goal is just a little bit further. It's like every time you go out for a marathon training run, you have to push yourself just a little bit further. And for people with a competitive nature, They can't resist that.
That's
they
right.
can't resist that.
That's exactly right. Especially when you know that if you do well, if you really produce the technology, the big dollars at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that really motivates a lot of people. Yeah.
So let's talk about your role at ARPA-E. We were talking a little bit before we started this interview, and you're brand new to the federal space, brand
That's right.
new to federal government, five months.
5 months.
What's your reaction to it so far?
I'm having a blast. This is amazing because it's a brand new organization within the Department of Energy. This is one of the top priorities for the Secretary of Energy, ARPA-E, and has tremendous support from the administration. And I'm really enjoying my interactions with Congress because I call them my board of directors. coming from Silicon Valley, that you sort of associate with it. Who do you report in? They are my board of directors, and I'm really enjoying discussing with them, reporting to them what's going on, and they giving me feedback, and we're trying to sort of work with that. And so it's a new space for me. I'm new to Washington D.C. I'm really except for the snow. I'm really enjoying everything else.
Yeah, you were here for the blizzard, weren't you?
That's right. That's right. And I'm from California, the Bay Area, where it never snows. And so it was new to me.
But now you get to enjoy the cherry blossoms.
That's right. That's right.
And it's kind of refreshing to hear you say that you're really enjoying your interaction with Congress. You don't hear that a lot. I'm not trying to be flip or sarcastic, but you really don't hear a lot of that from the private sector or the public sector, that they enjoy interacting with Congress. But
this is, U.S. technological lead, energy security, our environment. These are all national issues, right? There are no party lines in this. And so I'm going to them and say that this is what we're trying to do. And they are the board of directors. They have a stake in it. Everyone has a stake in this. This is not just mine or anyone, our small group in ARPA-E. This is everyone's agency. And so with that, I'm having a really good time just chatting with them and getting their concerns and their issues that they have. And it's been a wonderful experience.
And I also wanted to touch on something that you had just said, which is, what this tackles, it's not just the innovation and it's not just the environment, although those are important, but also security and the economy.
Right.
All of these things are entwined in your office.
That's right.
No pressure there.
Well, it's if you think about historically what moment of history we are at right now, I call it the Sputnik moment. If you go back in history and look at what happened in 1957, Sputnik went up. And it was a wake-up call for the United States.
People panicked.
Yeah. That's right. And it was a tectonic shift that happened at that time. And President Kennedy came and said that we need to send a man on the moon and get him back, right? And there was a huge surge in science and engineering. The word rocket science came to our jargon, and all that happened.
Mm-hmm.
We are in that moment right now because if you look at energy security, if you look at the environment, the greenhouse gas emissions, or just pollution in general. And if you look at U.S. technological lead, we are falling behind. And it is that Sputnik moment. And there are tectonic shifts happening in the rest of the world, which we could leverage. And those are opportunities, business opportunities for us. And if you don't really move fast, we're going to miss this opportunity. So our goal is to create the space and scale of innovation in the energy field to be able to be ahead and actually leverage what's going on.
People think outside the Beltway, people talk about innovation and they think the government, well, the government's not innovative. And of course, the government created the internet, for goodness sakes, maybe the biggest innovation of this century.
That's right.
How do you encourage, how do you foster innovation in a government environment?
Well, the first thing is to recruit the best people from the technical community.
And we know in government that's not always easy
so
either.
I'm from the technical community. Just 5 months ago, I was a professor at Berkeley and a scientist at the National Lab out there. And I've been, being part of the Silicon Valley, you sort of get engaged in the Silicon Valley innovation ecosystem.
Right.
I was an advisor at a couple of, venture capital firms and some advisory boards and a few other startup companies. So I'm from that community. And my job is to recruit the best minds from the technical community. We're getting some all-stars coming from academia, from national labs, from the industry. I just have someone who resigned from Intel and joined me.
Hmm.
Okay, and he's the top-notch guy in technology development for cooling these high-power chips, etc.
Wow.
And he's coming in, and he's going to look at now cooling in general for air conditioning, which is a big energy use. Okay, I just recruited someone from MIT. He was a professor at MIT in electrical engineering. And it was not, he's so smart that he figured out that what his field is not where the energy issues are. So he just switched and developing the whole platform of power electronics.
Mm.
So I think getting the best people from the technical community to serve for a few years, this is a national issue. Okay, I'm asking people to step up for a few years, serve for a few years, and then go back. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm going to serve and then go back.
And is your sales point the challenge out there, the mission of this, that
exactly.
Sputnik moment?
That's right. This is the time that we really need to accelerate our pace and scale of innovation. And this, if we don't, we're going to lag behind. So I'm asking the people, do your duty, step up for a few years, and then go back and do your thing. But during those 2 years, serve the nation. You have a finite amount of time, which is by statute, by the way. We cannot have people more than 3 years.
Hmm.
So in that finite, yeah, they have to. They cannot be permanent federal employees. This is new. This is what the DARPA model is, and that has been incorporated in ARPA-E.
And what advantage does that give you?
Because it gives them fresh ideas. And most smart people don't want to be, you know, federal employees for the rest of their lives. They want to go and do other things as well.
There's some smart people that don't mind being feds forever, but there are a lot of
people who want to just come serve the nation. My family's still in California.
I hear exactly what you're saying. So, you're not insulting the federal space.
No, what you're saying
is that these are people who can't hold still in one place for very long.
That's right. They want to innovate. They realize they have a finite amount of time, and in that amount of time, they want to make a difference and go back and do other things. And so that's the kind of people that we're trying to recruit right now.
Do you see as you guys as almost a model for everyone's just trying to be innovative now, and it seems like this can almost be a model for how other organizations may incorporate innovation into perhaps their day-to-day thinking.
Actually, the history goes back to the Sputnik. So in 1957, Sputnik launched, and the United States decided to launch a new program in the Department of Defense called DARPA, and that was in 1958. And President Eisenhower launched that. And that has been extremely successful. That led to the internet, by the way. That's how the internet concept of internet started in 1968.
Yeah.
And so we are taking the best practices of what DARPA is, putting it in the energy sector. The energy economy is very different from defense, so we have a few modifications to that. But that's how... So we are taking the best practices. It's not a completely new thing, but for the energy sector, it is new.
You gave me something else to think about, and that is if you consider that the internet sort of started, like the germ of it started in 68, looking at what it looks like now,
right.
it's evolved, but it's taken that long.
Yes.
It sounds like we're on a much more accelerated timeline.
Well, I think if you are to look at the innovations today, I mean, the internet took about 20, 25 years to really scale,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's say 1970, and it really started, picked up... you know, in 1980s,
yeah,
right, 85, 80, 88, and in 1990s, early 90s, it started, and then there was this Netscape moment.
Yeah, Netscape. Yeah,
right.
Mark Andreessen,
right?
Yeah.
Right, so we haven't reached the Netscape moment for energy yet. I'm hoping we will do that soon.
Mm-hmm.
But these things take time, and the energy sector is different from the internet sector. And if you look at the history of energy, look at how we changed our fuels from wood to coal to petroleum, it took 20 or 30 years. But you got to start somewhere,
mm-hmm.
because the rest of the world is going ahead anyway. So we are starting it now. And I think if you look at the equivalent of the internet for energy, if you may, that's going to take at least 15, 20 years to really scale and have impact on everybody. Okay, after all, we are all using energy. We need electricity. We need fuel. We need, you know, you consume energy, air conditioners, heaters, etc. To have that fundamental shift in all that, it's going to take 20, 30, you know, 15, 20 years at least. So we know what it looks like, you know, 20 years from now. We can see a few things happening now, which are extremely just innovative ideas, just creative people coming together and forming teams and say, let's get it done. But the question is what happens in between and what are the right signals that we are seeing that it's going to make that internet-like change later on. And that's, we're trying to evaluate that right now.
So most of your time right now in sort of startup mode, are you in the recruiting phase? Is that where you
yes.
spend most of your time? Or are you actually defining projects that folks are going to work on? Tell us where you are now and where you're going to be in 6 months, a year from now.
All of the above.
Yeah, there you go. Doing it all at once, right?
We are less than a year old. So this is really like a startup mode.
Yeah.
We are less than a year old. I've been here only 5 months. And we are recruiting people. And we are trying to recruit the best people, best minds who have one foot in science and engineering and active practicing people. and the other foot in technology and business, so that they, and it's all in one mind, they understand the connections between them. That's the kind of people we're recruiting. And we are creating programs. And for example, this the one that I mentioned on batteries, we created that and put the marker a little bit ahead of where it is today so that people can go and stretch their minds and really innovate and create the next generation batteries. We created a program called Electrofuels, converting electricity to gasoline.
Wow.
Now, if you could do that, you can take wind energy and produce fuels locally. You can take nuclear energy and produce gasoline. So it changes the whole, rewires the energy diagram for the United States. And so that came out of a workshop that we had, brought the technical community together. And we went into the workshop thinking that we'll do something. The community said, no, we can do much better. And here's what we do. We don't know how to do it today, but wouldn't it be nice? And here are some possible ways to do it. And so we created that program. And so we're now looking at proposals coming in, et cetera. So that's where we are. And in the next few months, we're going to recruit people. We're going to create new programs in energy sector and clean energy. And then, depending on Congress, when we get our budget, we will then invest in them.
Bottom line question for you is about what you want people to take away from this, your office, your role there, and what ARPA-E is all about. Congress listens, GS-11 and above listen, everybody listens to Federal News Radio who is in that federal space. What do you want them to know about what it is you're doing and how they can help you with your mission?
ARPA-E is a catalyst for unleashing the American innovation in clean energy technology. That's what it is. We can be a catalyst. With our moderate budget, we can't fund everything. What we can do is to lower some barriers. That's what a catalyst does, is to invest in those ideas and give the nation technological options and let the business take over and just scale it and make money. And as I said, we'll recruit the best people for a few years and then they go back and use the people. That's where the ideas are to help us in getting the nation in the right direction.